Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's May the 14th. I'm getting the days confused. And the day after Mother's Day, hope all you ladies out there who are moms had an excellent Sunday. I know the racing action was as Friday night and Saturday night this week at the track Too Tough to Tame, the Lady in Black, Darlington Raceway. Tammy, did you have a nice Mother's Day?
Not bad, but I have a caller for you on the line. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, okay. Who is it? Anyway, we'll have upcoming guests. Will be TJ Bell, driver of the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevrolet in the Nationwide Series. And a little later on, we'll have AJ Allmendinger as well. So,
and we have TJ right now.
All right. So I'd like to welcome back to the show, driver of the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevrolet with Liberty Tire and Pinnacle Rubber Mulch. And you also had another sponsor on there, TJ. Welcome to the show. Bud, where have you been?
Yeah. Oh, man, been racing, trying to be racing, staying busy.
Yeah, I know. It took us a while. We were off we changed locations now. We're doing live via internet radio and pump out more listeners this way. And because I moved south. I don't live up north anymore, and I think I'm closer to the action now, so...
Awesome. You down here in these unbelievable storms we're having right now?
Yeah, right now where I'm at, I'm encased in a fog, in a cloud.
Yeah.
We just had some rain pass through here, and it's headed east. So you're probably getting soggy down there. You're a little bit east and south of where I'm at in Bastion. It's about 90 miles north of Bristol, so if that kind of gives you an idea.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, we're getting some pretty crazy rain, thunder, lightning, you name it. It's been going on here, but it's been pretty cool.
Well, we're glad to have you back on the show, and hopefully now your luck will change. Seems like you had a good qualifying run, qualified 18th in the Chevy, got up in the field, and through no fault of your own, you gathered it. A wreck early, and you know, which was, you know, surprising to me that you know, Darlington being the way it is, actually, it's not surprising to me that wrecks don't happen more often there, and you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know, we had an unbelievable race car, and you know, put down a really good qualifying lap, and it finally, you know, I'm just proud about that because it finally shows what Mark and Tracy and everybody at the team has been working so hard. We haven't been able to show any of our efforts so far and what we deserve. We definitely haven't got the finish for what we deserve. You know, we got a little bit tight there at the beginning of the race, but saved the right front tire, trying to wait for a caution to come out, and we got that caution to come out, and you know, we were really working on things. We took a big swing at it and, you know, got back racing there right after the restart. And unfortunately, three wide and no brains, it doesn't matter. It doesn't work at Darlington. The Lady in Black will really reach out and show you what's up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Three wide's only for places like Michigan and Fontana and places where they have a big wide racing groove.
Yeah,
how big was the
car
wreck?
The car's pretty bad, you know, and it's just a fact that you know, these guys have been working so hard on these race cars, and you know, blood, sweat, and tears. I'm sure they're still at the shop right now. I'm sure they'll be there tomorrow morning when I wake up. I'm sure they'll still be at that shop getting this car ready to go to Iowa. You know, that was our Iowa car. I didn't get a Darlington stripe all through practice. You know, just that's what we're doing, trying to survive and trying to make it race to race with this team. And, you know, the team's doing such a great job of getting us to the races and, you know, doing what we need to do. We've had the worst racing luck. And, you know, I hate that word. I hate racing luck. Don't give me any luck. Just let us make our own luck, you know. But, you know, one of these days it'll turn around for us and we'll definitely get the finishes we deserve.
That's for sure, yeah. But at least you're out of Darlington and heading to Iowa, which is a little bit nicer of a design of a track. I think it's a Rusty Wallace. That's a Rusty Wallace track, so I'm sure he had that in mind for some good raceability there, and where the competition go door to door and not have to worry about skimming the wall. It's got every lap around the track.
Yeah, no, Iowa Speedway is a beautiful place. You know, I've ran pretty good there in trucks, and you know, I'm really looking forward to getting you know, our Make Motorsports Chevy there. Whether it be Gulf Coast loss prevention on the hood, whether it be Pinnacle Tire, whether it be Liberty, or you know, any of our great sponsors that have stepped up so much to help this team. You know, we finally got Mark's business on the car last weekend with Beaver Bale Bonds, and just everybody that's really stepped up to help this team. It's a family effort, and you know, we are having fun. Unfortunately, we're not having the most fun right now, because you're never having fun when you're getting the results we get. We see that we're running better, but we're just not getting the results.
I know there were some big changes in the team coming into this year. It seems like you and your new crew chief are working pretty well together to, you know, get that chemistry going, and it sort of paid off in qualifying the other day. And that's always a good sign when you see that progress that way. You know, at least you know you're starting further up in the field, and there's a better chance of staying out of that kind of trouble when you're battling with the guys closer to the front than the back.
Yeah, no, for sure. Me and Bobby are working really well together, and, you know, it's just it's another thing of having our race cars every week and building a notebook, and, you know, Bobby getting to know what I like, and I figuring out how Bobby likes to set up a race car. You know, we had a really good for qualifying trim, and unfortunately we just missed it a little bit there on the first run, but we think we know what we need to do, and, you know, that's the thing with us being a small team. It's learning baby steps all the time, and, you know, we're doing it the right way. We're not jumping in over our head, and we're going out there and learning together, and everybody's learning as far as this whole organization, so I'm pretty proud of them.
Tracy and Mark have a nice thing going there, and you know, got the chance to meet you all last September down in Dover. Unfortunately, being where I'm at and in the middle of things, still getting stuff back and forth, I'm going to miss this first one, and I won't be able to get to see you, but Tammy will be out there keeping tabs on things, getting some pictures and all the stuff she does. And so we hope to do you guys proud.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Yeah, I enjoyed that last year at Dover. I look forward to really going back to Dover. I love that racetrack, and there's a lot of races coming up I'm really excited about. And honestly, I was really excited about Darlington. You know, me and Make Motorsports have had some great runs there, but I don't know. I mean, I thought me and the lady in black were friends, but I don't know. We might have to put on some gloves and start boxing here, because she's knocked me out a few times now.
Yes. She could turn on you in a second, right?
Yeah, she's turned on us pretty quick, and unfortunately, this time it wasn't any of our own doing. We had someone else's help with it, but, you know, he knows what he's done, and you know, it's a sad fact is that the kid doesn't even have common courtesy to call and apologize. So, you know, what's Jimmy Spencer say? I never forget.
Right. Paybacks are coming. Thank
you. Yeah, well,
that's why they have Spencer on the schedule.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just unfortunate. He tore up a great race car, and, you know, we had a shot at locking ourselves in the top 30 in points there, and, you know, that got thrown out the window. So we're going to go to Iowa and, you know, put our best foot forward and do what we know how to do. And hopefully he buckles his seatbelts pretty tight.
And what kind of setup do you plan on having at Iowa? Not that I can want you to get into details. We don't want the competition to find out your secrets. But the difference in the track layout, as opposed to, you know, suiting your driving style?
You know, it'll probably be a little bit close to Richmond. Unfortunately, we had a great race car at Richmond. We just had some fuel pressure issues, And, you know, it'll be a little bit similar to that, except it's a little bit faster. There's a really big bump in the middle of one and two. Definitely got to work on the shock package to get over that bump, make sure we're not hitting the splitter on the racetrack. But it's a big, I mean, it's not a big wide racetrack, but it's bigger than Darlington with, you know, one groove. So it's a bigger racetrack. You can move around a little bit. You know, it suits me pretty good because you can still get in there and charge it and get racy. It's a real racy place, and it's fun, especially three and four. You can run two wide pretty easy. You know, it gets a little bit tight coming off of two, especially with that bump right in the center. It it really affects coming off of two there. So, but it's a great place, and, man, that place sells out every year. The fans are fantastic out there. They just love our racing.
And it's good to see the Nationwide Series getting to a track that's cozy. It has a sellout crowd all the time. As you get into some of these bigger places that expanded for the boom of the Cup Series years ago, and it's just sad seeing all the empty seats. I guess in NA after Iowa, you come back home, I guess close to the home track, and run the prelude to the 600 on Saturday for a 300-miler there, and then that's up to Dover.
Yep. No, I'm like I said, I'm really looking forward to coming back to Charlotte. It's everybody's backyard, everybody's you know, home. So there's a lot on the line, and it's one of those racetracks I just love. It's fast. Turns one and two there, when you get them right, there ain't many corners out there that are better feeling or faster than that, and it's cool because all the crew members get to bring their families there, and they actually get to see what they do, and they understand why these guys spend so many hours away from their home, away from their family, which you know, kind of makes it worthwhile, and really you know, it's cool for the guys to get to show off for their family what they do.
And thing about Charlotte too is you come off a four there, and usually coming out of four high, and then you got to shave off that first dog leg before you get into the second one. Do you try to stay low on that and then go back up high into one, or you try to come out of the dog leg, get up high, this way you can cut down into one at Charlotte?
You know, you really try to you know, run the straightest line down that front straightaway as possible, and it's, I don't know why they call it a front straightaway with the dog legs you got there. It's not a straightaway. But really, you need to be all the way out to the fence as far as possible to swing it in to turn one to get the proper line. You can't hold it out there a little bit too long, and it'll get you really loose getting in because it drops down into a bowl. But it's a cool feeling when you hit it right, when you drop down in the bowl and the car takes real good set into the corner, and you're just like, oh, yeah, here it is. You can go right back to the gas. You know, in a truck, you're wide open through one and two. Nationwide car will probably be really, really close to wide open, if not wide open. And Cup car, it's really exciting through there.
Yeah, too bad. You're going to be running the Cup race, the 600 too, or just the Nationwide?
I'm not 100% sure. I know I'm running the Nationwide race, and there is a chance that I will be in the 600. And hopefully we'll be able to break that news here this week if it does happen, and let everybody know.
Oh, we'll keep up on that one. At 600, that's a long race. I don't care by anybody's standards, even if you are doing speeds up close to 180.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one, and that, you know, that's something else to pick for my first one if we do that for this year. But, hey, if you're going to do it, you might as well jump in both feet in.
That's for at least Charlotte's a nice facility. That the racing surface always looks like it's in pretty good shape, and unfortunately, it's always a good show down there on the Memorial Day weekend for you guys. Then I guess heading up to the Monster Mile the week after, you're back into a bowl, Bristol on steroids, of course. Bristol's going to be redesigned when you get back to that, so that's another learning experience for everybody. But up to the Monster Mile, that's a pretty exciting track. The way you got the high banking, and the banking down the straightaway is probably one of the few tracks, and not the only one, that has that.
Yeah, it's that's a real exciting place. Like you said, it's a Bristol on steroids. It's really fast. It's you know, I don't even know what our average speed is around there, but it feels like it's 300 miles an hour because you're really hauling the mail. And it's a high-speed roller coaster. When you drop off into turn one there, it falls down into a hole, and it'll put your stomach up in your throat. And, you know, being concrete with the little grooves, you feel the little bumps across the racetrack. And, man, it's a cool place. And the bad thing about it, though, is if someone wrecks off a two, it blocks that whole back straightaway. It's easy to take out the whole field back there.
Yeah, same thing coming off a four. Takes out the front straightaway.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like they always do it on the back stretch, though, for some reason.
Yeah, I guess everybody wants to get down there and put on a show going under the
bridges, huh?
The bridge there, yeah.
Yeah, they want to show off for everybody in the casino over there.
Did you like Bristol the way it was, or are you looking forward to the new setup when they finish get it done for the night race? Of course, that'll change things around, just the fact that it's a new setup and back to being, you know, and it's the night race.
Yeah, no, you know, I like Bristol. I don't think the racetrack was our problem. I mean, Goodyear brings us unbelievable tires, and, you know, if they fall off too much, we complain. If they don't fall off enough, we complain. They're kind of in a lose-lose situation with the drivers, fans, and, you know, teams like that. But, you know, I think the tires needed to fall off a little bit more, so, you know, there's a bigger variation in speed from new tires to old tires. And, you know, if you saved your tires a little bit better, you could make the pass on the bottom to the guy that was running the old tires up top, keeping the momentum. I think, you know, I don't think it's the racetrack as much as I do the tire. But, well, you know, the fans talked. We're going to grind it down. They're going to do whatever they want to it. So they're going to have to start testing tires. And who knows, we might have the same thing with a different racetrack, or we might have a great show. So it doesn't matter. It's still the spectacle of Bristol. It's still, I feel like a gladiator walking into a Coliseum in that place. It gives you goosebumps. It's unbelievable. I love it. So whatever they do, I'm going to go up there and run it as hard as I can because I love that place.
Yeah, I think when they did the graduated banking, it spread the groove out maybe too far for, I guess, what the fans were wondering about, because, you know, you can go side by side and believe it or not, have room between you. So maybe if they pinched down just a hair, you know, maybe get you a little closer together and you have to worry about taking the air off each other's spoilers.
Yeah, I think the fans are used to the old Bristol bump and run and, you know, having to root and gouge for that bottom groove. But this year, it's not just at Bristol. It's everywhere. If you look through our sport, you know, I think there's 30% fewer cautions this year than there has been last year. I'm not sure what it has to do with, or it's just the cars being so close together and guys, you know, putting their helmets on a little bit straighter than they normally do. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, because you look at some of the events and it's like you expect there to be a caution, and it seems like the only ones coming out now for debris, and as somebody watching on TV, I'm wondering about that sometimes, because you get these long green flag laps, yeah, the race gets done quicker, but it doesn't seem as thrilling, so that long green lap, the owners might as well just put an intermission in at halftime, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. They need to bring, because what the fans love is when we're all bunched up and we're really racing really hard, all in a pack. And, you know, you get these long green flag runs. And, I mean, even Darlington never had long green flag runs. And I think they went like 187 laps without a caution. But you saw what happened at the end there. I mean, you know, you put people close together fighting for a fight for the last 20 laps, then they're going to start wrecking. So I think, you know, guys are starting to thinking about these people that work on these race cars a little bit more and not using them as weapons and trying to take care of them a little bit.
Yeah, that's for sure, too. And, well, the cars, you know, being a lot safer at a place like Darlington, unless you hit it about as hard as you did, you can still keep going just snuffing the wall. And
yeah, no, that's it's you know, they did a great job, NASCAR did, with making us a lot safer. And, you know, you can get a Darlington stripe. You can get more than just a stripe. You can go up there and beat the wall pretty hard with the right side with that new foam in the side and, you know, still drive on unless you have a fender rub. So the old car, you would have been having to go to pit road fixing stuff, or you'd have blown a tire. So, you know, it's just races change a little bit in the sport. And, you know, it's going to get back to where everybody's in a big pack and racing hard. And it's people just got to get on the same level. Some of these teams have it figured out more than others.
And speaking of big packs, Talladega, a little pack, a little tandem. It seems everybody stayed in the pack, but for some reason the outside line couldn't get ahead of the inside line. And usually it's the outside line that's pulling, at least off on the restarts there. The outside line has got the momentum going down into one. But with Talladega, it seems they were all in the pack. Then if you get a couple cars breaking away, they have a chance to build up a lead. But then, you know, everybody else winds up catching them. You think Talladega, the rules changes they made bring you guys closer together as a benefit, or you like tandem?
No, I'd much rather race in a pack. But the problem is with the pack racing, you're always going to have tandem racing. You're always going to have people bum drafting. Now that we know how to hook up in the tandem and push away, you're always going to have that. But the problem is that NASCAR's keeping us from trying to hook up and drive around like that, that they're restricting the airflow. And even in the big pack, we're overheating. So there's got to be a happy middle ground, you know, somewhere in there where we don't have just the tandem racing, where we have the pack back, but we're not overheating a bunch. So, you know, I don't want to be in NASCAR shoes to try to make all these decisions. You know, the fate of our sport and the fans booing or screaming or cheering kind of all rests on their shoulders. And sometimes, you know, people forget how hard it is for them to sanction all of us, because we're all trying to find our ways to make stuff better, to kind of find that gray area.
Yeah, then you don't want to stretch the gray area, because the poor old Jimmy Johnson in the Cup Series at Daytona, they stretch it a little bit, and of course they won their appeal, but still, NASCAR always finds to make a rule change in their favor when they find something.
Yeah. No, you know, I think someone told me a long time ago, I need NASCAR a lot more than NASCAR needs me. So, you know, everyone's got to keep that in mind, because there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids out there that would love to have my job right now. So, you know, I just got to keep doing what I'm doing and play in their sandbox.
That's it. You just drive. Will you tell them? I just drive the car. I don't.
That's it. Push the pedal on the right and turn the round thing.
And change that gear every once in a while.
Yeah.
Mark and Tracy do a good job of trying to, you know, they're not going to do anything to rock the boat NASCAR-wise. They're nice people. They play by the book, and, you know, they're going to give you the best equipment that they can get you and improve on it every week. And, you know, and it's a small operation, and with you in the car, they're growing, and one of these days, we're going to see you pushing the leader out the way for taking that checkered. And that's what we're looking to. And I'm sure that's what you're looking to as well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the goal with everybody at Make Motorsports. And I can't thank them enough. You know, I've been a lot of different race teams, a lot of different places, but I've been with these guys for 3 years. And they're like, you know, we try to take care of each other as best we can, and do everything we can to make this program better. And, you know, sometimes times are tough, and we're struggling to find sponsors and stuff like that. But you know, I got Mark and Tracy. They're true racers at heart, and that's the best part about it, because they are racers. And you can't ask for two better people as bosses that are people that are racers. So that's what makes it nice.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, I think if the economy was in better and companies had a lot more money to spend, they'd be looking to get their names on your car as well as everybody else's. So, you know, starting the race team that they did when they did it says a lot. And hopefully around the corner, you know, the sponsors will be coming and your results will get better and the economy will get better. You'll have more fans in the seats as well, and the sport will be happy again.
Yeah, no, it's we need that to happen. And, you know, all the fans that have stuck with us and the sponsors that we do have, I can't thank them enough for, you know, they are what make our sport. They allow me to do what I get to do for a living, and I love what I do. I'm the luckiest person in the world to be able to get to drive a race car for a living. Sometimes I forget that when bad things happen or we're not running good, and sometimes I just need to tell myself I get to drive a race car for a living, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, TJ, we better let you go. We've hogged up a pretty good part of your time here. Thanks again for coming on. It's always great having you. I like asking you those fun technical questions and things like that about the tracks and like that. And we'll look forward to you having a good run up in Iowa this weekend.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me back on. And like I said before, whenever we get a chance, we'll come on. And everyone out there, make sure you check out both TJ Bell and Make Motorsports on Facebook and Twitter and follow us, because we do some fun stuff on both of those accounts. And you can follow us on all our all what's going on track all the time.
Well, that's pretty good. And I'll tell you one thing, everybody I see getting its mulching season. I keep telling them, go get some Pinnacle rubber mulch. It'll last you 12 years.
Oh, yeah. I got it out in the front yard. I got it in the backyard. I love it. We're getting all this heavy rain, and guess what? None of it's washing away. I'm excited.
Hey, if you get in the rain and don't wash away, I saw where somebody posted that they ran it. They used it during a hurricane, and it didn't wash away. So that's even better news.
Yep.
So you have a good one, TJ, and glad you're able to come back on, and look forward to having you down the road a piece. Good luck, like I said again, good luck this weekend in Iowa, and I'll be watching the race, and if you're ever up this way, give me a shout. Tracy will give me my cell number if you want to give me a holler, and we'll have a couple cold ones together or something.
Perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you again for having me on.
All right. Take care now.
All right. See you, buddy.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
There you have TJ Bell, driver of the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevrolet, the Nationwide Series. Great guest, he always comes on, and it's good to ask him. You know, a sport organization like Make Motorsports, if anybody wants to see, have a good season, it's him. I know everybody out there talking about the driver of the green number 7 car in the Nationwide Series and the number 10 car at Darlington, and she gets a lot of press. So, but guys like TJ, you know, it was good that after the wreck and that ESPN was out there at the care center waiting for him to come out for an interview, because usually they don't, you know, if you're not a front runner, usually they leave you alone. So it's good to see that they got to interview TJ on national TV. I should have mentioned that to him, but I don't think you like doing an interview walking out of the care center, because you know you mean your car's all torn up pretty bad. Anyway, you got a call, give us a call at 646-649-1899. Tammy there working the boards. I see the you guys going back in the chat room, all that. So come out, talk to me. 646-649-1899. Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. And Tammy, you were out Friday night racing your little RC car. Grandview postponed. What's going on up there?
Grandview did run. I had a last-minute change and ended up having to work until midnight Saturday night. I didn't make it there. This thing called work got in my way Saturday night.
Oh, darn work.
Yeah, but I have such great joy to announce this week's late model winner. And the reason why is because he was the person that gave me my start in racing working in the cars. And that was Lou Igre. He drives a number 64 late model. It's his first win since 2004. And kind of funny. I have a daughter as a friend of mine on Facebook, and I posted a picture of the wine bottle that we had, or the champagne bottle from the last championship that he had at the track, and I still have my bottle from that night, and he signed it and everything. And I put it up there, I want to say like a week ago, and we were teasing about the good old times and, yeah, what it was like to be in Victory Lane. And wouldn't you know it, he found his way to Victory Lane Saturday night, and it was just like old times, because I watched the replay of it, and it was him and Bill Henning 1-2 in the race. And Bill spun after a restart, and Lou came home, held off some of the top runners behind him, and brought home the first win since 2004. So for me, it's bittersweet because I wasn't there, and I feel horrible because I missed the win. But I'm just so excited for him to come back on top. You know, it's been a long time in the coming. It's just great. So Louis was the winner. Danny Snyder was second. Chuck Schutz was third. Dallas Breidenbach was fourth. And Jason Miller was fifth in the late models. They did run four features. The rained out feature winner was Doug Mann Miller for the Sportsman NASCAR 358 Modified class. Dwayne Howard was second. Jeff Strunk was third. Craig Van Doren fourth. Brad Missumer fifth. In their second feature for the 358 Modifieds, it was Mimi DeSantis. So there's a third different winner on the night. Jared Miller was second. Kevin Hertler was third. Mike Guler, which has been on our show before, he was fourth. And Cliff Quinn was fifth. And then for the NASCAR Sportsmen's, it was fourth different winner of the night. We had Craig Whitmore, Mike Lazowski, Dave Dissinger, John Kovach, and Kevin Beach for the top five in that class. Now they're going to do it all over again this Saturday night, and actually this weekend is a doubleheader. You can go on out there Saturday night and watch the 358 Modifieds, the Sportsmen's, and the Late Models run. There's going to be two Sportsman features, one 358 Modified feature, and one Late Model feature this week. And then come on out Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon is going to be what they call the Sunday Small Car Series, and I'll be there for that this week. And also Miss Racers Roundtable is going to be there, Trish Heller. She'll be joining me, and the Racer Roundtable girls will be there too. And it's going to be having the 270 and 600cc Micros, the Slingshot 600 Modifieds, and Legend Cars racing. And it gets even better. On Saturday, it's just $5 to get into the grandstands. So take $5 per person in your family, take them on out Sunday afternoon, and have a little bit of fun. You're going to love it. The show is going to be great, and these cars are going to be awesome out there on that track.
And the weather should be good, too.
Yes. We're looking to have some good weather this weekend. So, and, I mean, it's just a Sunday afternoon out with the family. If you don't want to stay out, you know, Saturday nights they get done a little bit later. Maybe you don't want to keep your kids out that late. Take them on a Sunday afternoon and just have fun. No matter when you go to Grandview, you're going to have fun with your family. It's definitely a family atmosphere. You know, you're going to see lots and lots of racing action. It's some of the finest racing action on the East Coast on dirt. You know, they call it the greatest show on dirt, and they call it that for a reason. You're going to see a great show.
And, you know, that's where guys like TJ and Jeff Gordon, they all
Dave
get
Blaney.
Their start on dirt. And Dave Blaney and
Dave
now
Blaney
Sun Lion
has run there. So, you know, it's those guys. I mean, we've had Michael Waltrip come over there and play in a late model. Jimmy Spencer's been there. I can't even think of all the names. Richard Petty's been there just as a guest. Bobby Allison came as a guest. I believe Davey was there the 1 year. I'd have to dig out my whole list, but every year they used to have a NASCAR weekend, and the guys, you know, 8-10 guys would come down the track and play around with the late models and have a little bit of fun when they come to town for Dover or Pocono. You know, they haven't done that in a long time, but that used to be a blast on a Saturday night when those guys would come in and just have some fun.
Yeah, that's for sure. I got my eye on this chat window here. I've seen some funny stuff. Guys, give me a call at 646-649-1899, and, I hope you all enjoyed TJ on the show tonight. I'd like to get to my next guest, and here he is. We had AJ Allmendinger.
Sounds like you might be having a little bit of a problem there, Vince.
We're having a tough time picking it up, or?
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything.
Darn. Because I started playing it, and thanks for letting me know. Let's see. I guess I got to work on something. But, yeah, we're trying to had an interview with A.J. Allmendinger this morning about trying to get him into the All-Star race. Of course, outside of winning the showdown, the only way to get into the race is the fan vote. And apparently, without the fan vote, then he's not going to get in. So, anyway, we'll see if we can make that happen. Yeah, we got time for a call. Give us a call, 646-649-1899. And be happy to talk to you, whoever, everybody, anybody out there. So, while I try to get the bugs worked out on this, maybe I'll check my plugins. Anybody calling in yet?
Not yet. I'm watching.
Okay. We'll just have to make sure everything I got. It should play, but I'm hearing it in my headphones. That's the only reason why I'm surprised it's not coming through. Let me try it again. Let me know if it comes out, Tam.
No, doesn't sound.
No.
No.
Wow, man. Let's see. I have to figure something out here. It's a shame because I was all set to play tonight. But if you want to go to vote for AJ, go to NASCAR.com or Sprint or text. There's a whole bunch of ways on there that you can do it. I think the easiest would be to go to NASCAR.com and vote for AJ in the vote for the All-Star race. This way he can get in there. See what we can get here. That's old news, and now we're trying to get you into the... How's that, Tom? Can you hear?
Yeah, I heard that one.
I'd like to welcome to Garage Talk Live, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Dodge Charger for Penske Racing, A.J. Allmendinger. A.J., welcome to Garage Talk Live, and how are you today?
Good, how you doing?
Not too bad. Had a little rough time there at Darlington, but that's old news, and now we're trying to get you into the All-Star race this coming Saturday night.
That's the goal. We're got to go out there and win the showdown, or if not, got to have all the fans vote. Get me in Sprint All-Star races. This is one of my favorite races during the year. It's one of those races that it's fun because there's no points on the line, and you go out there and just hammer down and try to win the thing. So I've won the showdown one time to get in, and it's just an amazing race to be a part of. So that's the goal, to win the thing, and if not, hopefully the fans have a say in and get me in.
Well, the easiest way for them to do that, I guess, would be to go to NASCAR.com/All-Star or various modern technical devices like NASCAR Sprint Cup Mobile Android. If they have the Sprint Cup app on their Sprint phone, how many times could I say Sprint, right? And they can vote that way. Or texting vote to 229-466. And well, I guess the best way is to win the race. I know you've won it before. Your Penske teammate a few years back, Sam Hornish, raced his way in. So at least you got a good enough car, then you can be able to do that. But we want to make sure all the Garage Talk Live fans can vote for AJ and hopefully go in and win that big check at the end of the night.
It's the goal. It's you know, and I think it's what makes it fun is to get into the All-Star race and you know, it's just a big celebration, not just for myself, but for the whole race team. And you know, we get introduced as a whole race team, not just to the drivers. So all the crew guys get to go out there and be introduced. So it's just, it's one of those nights that are really fun. It's fun for the drivers. It's fun for the fan. You know, you go out there and it's not a long, enduring race that you kind of sit there and spend 4 hours watching. It's split up into a lot of different segments, and you know, it's just it's fun for everybody. It's fun for the drivers, fun for the fans, fun for the race team. So it's a good time. But you know, obviously the goal is to go win the showdown and get in, and if not, to have all the fans vote and have a chance for us to get in.
And if you do get in and you do win the thing, then you're pretty much locked in every year, which is another good thing, because that's some big prize money. The good news is, you don't have to take care of the equipment. This is a one-night deal, and away you go. You can lay it all out on the track and not have to bring it on back.
Exactly. It's the only time you'll ever hear the crew chief say checkers or wreckers. So, you know, the race teams, they put a lot of effort into these race cars because they know there's a lot of money on the line, but they also know when it gets put into the hauler, there's a good chance it might not come back the same way. So that's what makes it such a fun night, to go out there and you know, it's not about points. It's not about saving your equipment. It's not about anything like that. It's about there going out there just trying to win the race and get the big check and celebrate. So it's a good time. So I'm looking forward to it. Friday we practice and qualify, and Saturday it's the showdown and time to go.
The good news is it's in Charlotte. You got 2 weeks to spend at home with the family as well, and just basically going to the track is going to the shop, and you get to go home at night instead of having to worry about the big travel plan. So that's got to be a plus.
Yeah, you know, for the drivers, I don't think it's as big of a deal, because we're very fortunate enough to each week bring our buses to the racetrack and be able to bring whoever we want to come with us. It's a lot bigger for the race teams and the guys that work hard every week that sacrifice a lot of time from their family on Thursday to Sundays when they're at the racetrack, and even when they come home, they're at the shop from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. most of the time. So I think it's really good for them to be able to go home every night, sleep in their bed, spend time with their family. A lot of them have the family come out to the racetrack, which doesn't happen a lot. So, you know, these 2 weeks are really good for the race teams and the guys that work on them to be able to, I wouldn't say relax because it's still stressful, but to be able to go home and at least spend the time with the people that you miss. So that's a good thing for them.
Yeah, all that time at home, you get to do all the yard work too, right?
I don't, you know, it's funny. I think I don't know how that works. I don't know if they make them, if their wives make them still go do their yard work if they get a little time off. I'm betting they don't get a lot of time off.
That's probably true. You got to do things like this for press, and I guess that takes a lot up of your time. But you know, it's something I guess everybody has to do when you're in the high profile that these Sprint Cup drivers are, and it's part of the job, right?
It's part of it, you know, but it's what makes it so much fun. And, you know, each week we get to go to different cities and see the race fans, spend time at different places. But, you know, these 2 weeks at Charlotte are definitely special for us.
Well, AJ, I'm going to make sure that we have everybody that listens to us go out to NASCAR.com, All-Star, and vote for you. And if you get in and you win, I hope I'm your luck charm and have you back on to gloat about it.
We'll definitely do that, so thank you.
All right, AJ, you take care now, and good luck this weekend. That's the Sprint All-Star Race this coming Saturday night. Go to NASCAR.com/All-Star, or you can go to the Sprint Experience at the track in the Midway, where all the souvenir trucks, and buy some of that Shell Pennzoil stuff that AJ has for sale. And your Sprint Cup mobile Android app, or text VOTE to 229-466. And good luck this weekend, AJ, and we hope you have a fun night, and you take home that check on the final event in the All-Star Race.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
All right, have a good one now.
Cool. You too. We say bye.
There's the dinger on Garage Talk Live. I'd like to take a call. It's Tracy from Bristol. Welcome to the Garage Talk Live, Tracy.
Hey, V-Bone, what's going on?
Oh, not too much. You're not too far from me. I'm
about 90 miles north of where you're at. So you're getting a sloppy weather down there, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I like to think geographically we're close, but, you know, person to person, we're far apart, Vince.
Well, you know how it goes. You know, with the 70-mile-an-hour speed limits on these Virginia highways, I can get to you pretty quick. But
yeah, distance is not my friend, I guess. Well, distance is, but not time. You'll get me.
Yeah, so what can I do for you tonight? Well, you have a question?
Well, you know, man, it was good to hear TJ on the show. I love the guy, man. He's a great guy, darn good driver. And I think I thought it was pretty cool that he kind of touched on the thing about Bristol, you know, what the problem is. And, you know, he's not the first driver to say that it's not necessarily the track. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I always like hearing the guys that are out there driving, you know, hear what they say about it. And because that's what, you know, that's where the real stuff comes from. And, you know, who knows why things happen the way they do or did or what's going to happen. But, you know, I thought that was pretty cool to hear him say it. And that, who knows, you know, maybe it would have been something as simple as a tire change. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I know. But I think when they did the progressive banking, all of a sudden the track did get a lot wider as far as the racing groove. And maybe they went too much on the graduation on it. So it's nice to see cars racing side by side, but you'd like to see them a little more door handle to door handle, at least in my opinion. I'm not saying a lot of bumping out of the way and have a one groove track, but I think the drivers work for it a little bit. If you make these tracks too easy, then you get a boring race, and I think it's the worst thing you can have entertainment wise, and it is the entertainment and entertainment sport is a boring race.
Yeah, true. Well, you know, I think, too, we've heard people say that, but I have a hard time trying to figure out exactly what a lot of the fans are looking for, Vince. I mean, do we need to see guys tear stuff up? You know, before people were upset because we were having 20 caution flags in a race, and now they're upset because we're having 100-lap green flag segments, and, you know, I don't know, you know, old videos on YouTube, man, you can go back to 83, 84 when the track was repaved. It was newly paved, not concreted, but paved. Man, they would run too wide. They would run high and low. They would pass high and low, smoking the right rear tire, just cooking it through there.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what, though? I think the fact that they built Bristol as one of those hell-bent for leather tracks where you have to fight your way through, and they had, you know, Dale Earnhardt wrecking Terry Labonte 1 year, and Labonte coming across the finish line, winning with his front end all pushed in, leaking radiator fluid out everywhere. Then the next year, Earnhardt did it again, and Labonte was upset because Earnhardt won the race, and, you know, now they say about paybacks, the drivers, it's one of those tracks where drivers used to get all bent out of shape for simple incidents. I mean, you don't have this post-race stuff or things you have now. They all had it out on the track, made it look as inconspicuous as possible. And, you know, the action seemed a little, seemed like it was more like they were on the edge of their seats. And then it went to, you know, with the sport lacking attendance the way it has the past few years, I guess, you know, you build a place that went from 70,000 seats all the way to 160,000 seats, and then you can't fill them. You got a lot of dead zone up there, and of course, you know, the purses aren't as big. I'm sure, I think NASCAR's entry fees have gone up, so, you know, Bruton Smith had a fine show place there, and if he's, you know, a combination of things with the, I guess, the economy, you know, you can't always blame that, but, you know, people don't have the money to spend $3-4 a gallon of gas just to buy tickets. I mean, it used to be that place sold out years in advance, and you had to wait for a seat. Now they're still for sale. I saw where somebody posted that you can get them almost like 2-for-1. You know, some of our NBS blog friends out there, they could chime in. I think it was one of their posts
and I'm quoting this from, there's just everybody's trying to grab a buck from everybody else, so you got to figure out a way to do it the best. Well, we won't know what it's going to look like until August when they drop the green flag.
Right. And see there, TJ touched on something too. Now we're talking about tire testing. I had heard the other day where NASCAR is looking at taking downforce out of the cup cars. Now, somebody like TJ, who is not sure if he's going to be able to run a cup car in the 600, so you know they're, you know that team he's looking at running for is strapped for cash, and now they're talking about making these changes, and I'm sure it wouldn't involve some of the changes like they've had in the past where guys are cutting bodies off of cars and that nonsense, you know, costing the teams a ton of money, but still you're going to have R&D, and if you can't afford R&D, you're already behind before you even get started. So, you know, it's tough on these guys, man. They have an opportunity as such, you know, on paper to come to an event, but technically they don't have a chance, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think the team that TJ be driving for isn't Make Motorsports, because he, I think he, for the, you know, might have been for the team he drove last year, who hasn't fielded him an entry, let alone, I think, an entry at all this year. But, you know, you got a team like Make Motorsports forming in probably one of the toughest eras you can, and they're finally getting to the point where they can make every race and not have to start and park and, you know, try to run the whole thing, and he qualifies 18th. And, you know, we all saw what happened Friday night, and they damaged a pretty good race car.
Yeah, you know, and he talked about that too. You know, the disappointment in that. I can imagine the bills that these teams have to pay, and everything is hinging on, you know, making it in the race. And they had a darn good qualifying run. And you know, that's not just his story this week. That's a lot of guys' story every week. You know, racing's a tough sport, man. It's a tough business, and you know, sometimes you get your nose bloodied. But you know, it's things keep changing at such a rate that, you know, teams are struggling anyway, and it always comes down to money. I don't care if you're racing go-karts, RC cars, like Tammy does, whatever. It always comes down to money. But, you know, do we want to see the same people every week? I mean, I think that's appeal to a lot of the truck series. Let me put it that way. You know, a lot of appeal to the truck series is what we're seeing in these truck races and the guys we're seeing, you know, run up front. And the guys that are running late models at our local short tracks have landed a truck ride next week, and, you know, things are starting to take off for them. And it still has a pretty good appeal. And, you know, the Bristol truck race is one that I'd always make, even if I have free tickets to the cup race. I usually pass on it. It's just, you know, it's just not the same.
Yeah, I love the truck series. I like the action. They're not afraid to stick it in there, and they don't have as many laps to get it done, and they're just hard-nosed racing from the drop of the green to the drop of the checker in that series. That's probably the most competitive series in NASCAR's top three. It's sad to say that, you know, one of your preliminaries to your preliminary, or which will be the case at Dover when they run the triple header, you know, that's probably some of the greatest action you'll see on the weekend. And, you know, you want to see the guys come home safe. You don't want to see them wreck, you know, the cars, because it costs them a lot of money, but you just wanted to see it a little more exciting. I mean, you know, with Hendrick getting his 200th cup win, I like the kind of finishes you had at Richmond where you're coming across the line side by side and that type of deal. Maybe a length or two, but not for a guy's running around leading 170 or 200 laps and that type of thing. It kind of makes it hard for the everyday person to say, why do I got to sit through the three, 4 hours or 2 hours of this when I can just watch maybe the last 10 minutes? And it's one of those deals that you don't want to see the guys wreck and ruin equipment, but you want to see them rub a bit, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you want to see them get after it.
But, you know, like the rich teams got the good cars, and the not-so-rich teams, you know, you see what happens to them. You didn't have this many start and parks years ago that you do now. A guy would drive it till it broke instead of just enough to get a 43rd place paycheck.
Right, right. What do you think that's What do you think that's a product of, Vince? I mean, the start and park thing, I hear people, you know, people don't like it, and, you know, they just don't like it, and they want guys should have to run the whole race and stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. Also, they're running it like a business, and they're there to try and make money, and I don't know what could be done differently where people can't start and park or shouldn't have to start and park, or that's just a product of the new NASCAR, I guess.
I guess, and I don't know if it's something that came about with the top 35 and owners' points already making the field. It's just a matter of where, and, you know, back in the day, if somebody beat out a top team and the top team had a car go home, that top team would pay that driver that made it the money to put his name on the car, and he'd run the whole race.
Yeah. But, see, you would think a top team wouldn't have to worry about being out-qualified.
Yeah, not now.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that whole top 35 thing would be a thing of the past, really. It ought to be, if you're fast enough to make it, you make it.
And that's the way it used to be. I mean, you had a few provisionals, but that was, I guess, but that was like the last couple spots. It was, you know, now it's just one provisional, but the top 35 in owners' points get it, and that's why you have people like Rudiman filling in the 10 car when Danica is not in it, just so she can be guaranteed a spot. When you had somebody like Shauna Robinson who had to make it in the race and made it in the races. She might not have run well and might not have, you know, might have ran towards the back the whole race, but she ran the whole race.
Exactly. You know, and that was a great show last week to hear Shauna on. You know, I haven't heard from her in a while. You know, she used to race semis. I mean, you know, the big semi trucks. I mean, she could race.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's to say she's done? I don't know if the environment that NASCAR is now, I don't know if it's worth the trouble it would be for her to. I'm sure if the right opportunity come along, she would come back, but, you know, and get behind the wheel of a car. But I don't know. They're looking for a certain thing as far as female drivers, it looks like, and they've got why it only has to be one. I don't know, but they seem to have what they want right now, and I don't know why it just has to be one. But anyway, that's a whole other show.
Well, we could have that whole other show. It doesn't matter. Look at young Johanna Long, 19 years old, underfunded equipment. That girl could drive.
Yep.
I mean, imagine if she was in a top-notch car.
I know. You're preaching to the choir, man. Anybody's going to sit and tell me that certain people coming through are helping the same people in the sport? I say, uh-uh. I don't see how, because what now? You have set up a certain ideal. You have set up a certain standard that people are looking for, whether it's visual. It's sure not talent-based, and that's what they want. If you're not that, then it doesn't matter. And I remember years ago, I brought this up on the NBS blog. It's been 3 or 4 years back, the Bristol truck race. Been 3 or 4 years, man, my gosh, probably longer than that. I lost track of time. But there was a girl driving in that was, you know, she made the field. And, man, I'm telling you, they beat the back off of that truck the whole night. Nobody spun her. I bet she was basically in the way. And
probably was either Deborah Renshaw, Tina Gordon. They were probably the two back that far, past few years, not last year, she didn't have a good year, but the year before, Jennifer Jo Cobb is another one. They would just run her out the way. I think Jennifer Jo should have stayed with the Truck Series last year and built her brand there instead of everybody wants a nationwide ride, but I think what happened with that team she went with kind of screwed up her whole situation. Now she's back to starting in the Truck Series. But, yeah, I mean, Deborah Renshaw drove the 8 truck for the Bobby Hamilton Racing back then, and it was Tina Gordon. I remember seeing an ARCA race where they finished 5 and 6, or they were trading paint all the way to the line.
Yeah, exactly. That, like I said, and, you know, my wife was with me at that race, and she said, why are they so hard on her? And I said, hey, you know, you're racing with the big boys and the big girls. When you come into a series like that, you're saying, you're equal. I'm as fast as anybody out here. I can keep up with anybody out here. And if I get out here, I'm going to be treated just like everybody else. And, I mean, nobody cut her no slack, none. They, you know, and now people want to say things about people are too hard on somebody. They don't race somebody right. They race somebody too hard. They don't let people race. Oh, for crying out loud, man. Come on.
Well, you do have the ones out there now that are the corporate babies. You know, do them wrong and they whine about it. And that's male or female. And you got some tough, hard-nosed drivers out there. You know, like, you know, say what they want about Kyle Busch. The man can drive a car. I don't care what he gets in, he wins in. So, you know, Tony Stewart's another one. Went from open wheel, well, probably the first one to go from IndyCar to NASCAR and actually win something, let alone three titles.
Right.
I mean, it's not that it's an easy road to hoe going from an open wheel, you know, a car to where you can't rub the car with fenders, where you got to keep it, really keep an eye out for everybody around you. The one time Shona Robinson won the pole in a nationwide race, back then it was Busch, of course, and within the first lap, Mike Wallace put her in a wall. I mean, if he didn't do that deliberately, who knows? She might have won the race, or at least finished up in the top 10.
Could you imagine if something like that happened now, though? There would be a riot.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to see more ladies in the sport, but...
Me too!
They can't get sponsorship.
Hey,
and it's all about money.
It is. It's all about, honestly, and I can tell you this from the motocross world side of things, from when we've been out there and trying to get sponsors, if you don't have the look they want, they're not putting money down. In motocross, if you're not a size 6 or smaller, you don't have the perfect hair and the looks and everything like that, they're not even looking at you. You know, and I've, you know, obviously I am not a size 6 or smaller. I, you know, I'm a bigger girl, but I've made do with what I've had. But it's the same way. You know, the girls have to fight because they want that perfect image out there. And unfortunately, what people visualize as a perfect image of a woman isn't really a perfect image of a woman. A perfect image of a woman is a woman that's comfortable with herself.
Yeah, but Jeff, the thing with Danica, she brought that GoDaddy sponsorship with her. If she didn't have that, she wouldn't have a ride.
Well, that's true. But if you think about it, and you think about the commercials and everything she makes, it's all risque, it's all sexually based, just to draw in the attention. Now, from someone from my point of view, as a woman, it does nothing for me, you know.
No, nor should it unless, you know, but we're not going to go there. That's for another type of show.
I mean, if you really want to think about it, NASCAR is a family sport, but yet you're saying it's okay to act like this in your commercials. But where do you draw the line for being family?
Well, they say, here's the thing, too. A commercial demographic where you're going to draw your largest spending is, was it 18 to 50-year-old males. And so that might be what they're marketing to. And even though that's according to most media ratings, and that's where they target a lot of their advertising towards, and
right, but then by doing that, they're missing out on a huge part of the market that they're not even touching, because you're offending other parts of the marketability aspect of things that you're losing out on. You know, you don't have to act, look, or dress like that to gain attention and be popular. I would much rather see her doing more charitable things, which would gain my attention, you know, and doing more around that than, you know, saying go to GoDaddy.com to see the unrated version of this commercial.
And I've been there. It isn't much different than the rated version. Well, you really? I think it's basically
it.
Hey, I got to research these things, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, that's part of it.
But, you know, back in the day when you had a lot of products like Tide or Downy or some of the other female, we'll say female-directed products sponsoring cars, you know, they could have jumped on board with Shauna and, you know, hey, promoted a girl, well, somebody with some talent, and let's see where we can take this. You have Johanna Long now. If somebody wants to, you know, here's, you know, they don't look at the picture of what the girl's running with and how well she does. She qualifies well, and if she can has a, you know, better equipment on race day, she usually can get it in the upper, closer towards the top 15, and she's done that a couple times, but.
But she's lost to the spotlight, basically, is what happens. You know, it, even though there's other girls out there, they're getting lost in the spotlight, which is kind of, for me, I feel bad for those other girls, and I feel bad for the girls that want to get in the sport, because if all they're going to hear is Danica, 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 don't get me wrong, I understand, you know, obviously she's done something to get herself to where she's at. She's in the car, I'm not type of thing. But give some props to these other girls so that it does encourage more girls. You know, NASCAR is so big on this NASCAR diversity program. Well, then show the diversity. Show that there's other girls out there.
That's for sure. I mean, we've had several of the young up-and-comers on the show. We had Tiffany Daniels, who ran at Dover the time we were there. She finished on the lead lap and didn't wreck the car. She finished top 10 in an ASA race in South Africa. She's drag racing now. And last year she won within, like, her second or third major event in a mile, you know, and that, we're not talking Top Fuel, but it was at ATCO, and she won her bracket event. I mean, there's somebody who can take care of equipment, has a mechanical engineering degree. As a matter of fact, she worked for Earnhardt Ganassi back when they were doing good a couple of years back. Since she left them, they've been running so well. But that's here nor there. A young up-and-comer, Sloan Henderson, another late-model driver that can't break in. Of course, she can't get equipment, has to go settle for a ride from an underfunded ARCA team, you know, for Daytona and, you know.
Right, and that's the thing. There's so many talented ladies out there, but when you're only praising one, you're really not helping the confidence of any other girl trying to break into the sport. You know, if it was me personally, like, I'm comfortable and settled in my motocross racing, but if I'd ever want to go into NASCAR and that's what I would see, I'd be sitting there thinking, do I even have a chance? Because, you know, everybody's comparing themselves to her then. And, you know, if that's what everybody's expecting to see and you have a girl that doesn't fit that image, that's not going to be a confidence boost from her, you know, for her. That could be very hurtful for her. And it could also ruin somebody's dreams, you know. And that's the thing. Show everybody. Give everybody equal time out there. You know, she's not the only girl in the field. I want to see some more coverage for the girls. Like you said, you know, you've got Johanna out there, and it's like, come on, give her some attention. She works so hard. She does her best week in and week out with what she has, but she's not getting all the hype. You know, the same with, was it Chrissy Wallace? You know,
yeah.
They could be in the same race. Chrissy beat Danica, I believe it was, and nobody said a word. It's like, hello, hey, yo, anybody want to remember her? She's out here too. She's out
right
here running with the boys, and she's running her heart out, and she's doing good. She may not be in victory lane, but she's doing everything she can to put her in that spot to get herself there, and she's out there showing she can handle it. You know, I can tell you a girl that I know that raced at Grandview didn't make it very long because the guys kept putting her in the wall. You know, and that's, unfortunately, that's going to happen. But if a girl can handle it and take it and just run with it, give them the spotlight they deserve.
That's for sure. And the thing of it is, believe it or not, women that do get the spotlight in major motorsports are coming out of the NHRA. I mean, you know, you have, look at the, the ones from we had on the show from last year, Erica Enders and.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they're coming from. You know, you've got John Force's girls out there running, and the same with motocross. You have Ashley, I'm going to booger her name, Ashley Fialik out there. She is deaf, but she is still out there racing. She's going after her dream. She's a national champion. She's won Loretta Lynn's. You know, and the girls are capable of running in these sports with the guys. It's just the fact that somebody has to give them a break.
That's for sure. Well, there's a question I have out there on a chat room. Are we going to be covering the Rallycross in New Jersey there, probably at the New Jersey Motorsports Park? I don't know. We have to check in on that, right, Sam? We've got so many things to do and too many places to go and not enough people.
Yeah, I mean, my schedule is really jam-packed between now and Pocono and Dover.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm booked through the middle of June, and then I have just a tiny bit of downtime. You know, I haven't even had a chance to even get my bike out this year and go to any races. That's how on the go I've been this year, and kind of frustrating. But, you know, we'll get the bike out when I can this year. And, you know, I'm still racing the RC cars, so I'm still racing in some form. I just would rather be more hands-on than what I am. But, you know, obviously we're not going to take another championship this year, but it's okay. We'll have the break until next year and go back at it full force. Right now I'm kind of enjoying getting everything in place and getting everything running like we are, and it's kind of nice to be busy.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Tracy, you there?
I'm still here. You didn't make me mad, make me hang up yet.
Okay. Oh, do I
have to get thanks for joining us. We're going to get ready to check on out of here now. Hope we satisfied your question. Join us next week. I think we're going to try to line up Gary Camp. What's that?
Picks. They're reminding me in the chat room. Who's going to do some all-star picks?
No, we don't do the all-star picks. We always do the 600 picks.
They're already picking some. We got Dale Jr. We got Casey. We got all kinds of picks going on already. They're putting us on the spot. They're putting us on the spot here.
Well, you don't know. If half of these guys wreck out in the first three segment, first couple segments, that last segment, you know, there's going to be a bunch of... Oh, I see here.
See,
that's it is hard to pick. That's why I don't usually make picks on the all-star race. I always wait for the points races because I take into consideration past performances and not always pick the same guy every week because I'm a fan of his, you know. So, but
just throw it out there, Vince. Just yeah. Throw, you know, close your eyes and throw the dart.
Close my eyes and reach into my mouth.
It worked for me already.
Okay, the all-star race. I don't know. I think I'm gonna go with Jimmy Johnson. I think he's found his groove. Lowe's is a track he likes, so if he gets to that final round, is anywhere sniffing near the front, I think he's gonna go for it. How's that? You happy now?
Okay. So who are you picking, Tracy? Or are you gonna make me go first?
I'll take the 24.
Okay. I'm torn. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. Yeah, survival. Sorry, I had to pick somebody.
I see on the chat room somebody's going, no!
I can see him just kind of hanging out till the end and just like putting around in the back and then just going for it if everybody else takes each other out.
Well, if everybody wants to, go to our Facebook page, Garage Talk Live, and put them up there. This way we'll have them for next week. And don't forget, I'll be working on a couple of guests for next week, probably Gary Camp at Dover time. We like to get him on a couple of weeks early. And this way he has a couple of weeks to get the event. And maybe I'll see who else we can get. I'll surprise you. Just keep checking the GarageTalkLive.com or the Garage Talk Live Facebook page. And all right, Tad, Tracy, thanks for the call. And I guess say goodbye, Tad. We'll see everybody next week.
See ya.
Bye. Take care now. Good racing.